And that's right. Don't laugh at me. This here is Big Dot with you, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, on another Thursday evening for the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, coming to you live from the Six Eyes Radio Network. And we're saying welcome one, welcome all to our program tonight, especially our surrounding cities and states and our countries near and far, and those as well as those who've called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation, especially to be able to say, hi, give your prayer requests, prayer praises, as Brother Quick brings another one of his messages, hopefully continuing on his series about you must be born again. And we do, who do we got, Ruth, with us real quick here?
We always have God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the band of angels. We know there's crowded in here, too. We just don't see them, but we know they're there. Then we got you, and then we have Sister Emily, and, of course, Brother Quick, and little old me.
Okay, we're going to let Emily say her hi's real quick and any prayer requests she has, and then we're going to turn Brother Quick loose.
Okay. I was just going to ask the listeners, as well as Brother Quick and the church down his way, to be praying for me in the housing situation, and also to be praying that this infection in my foot will clear up. Also for my daughters, managing supervisor earlier, she got really sick. They took her over to the walk-in. They got her tested, and she came back positive for the COVID virus.
Okay, and is that in him?
Yeah, also for the workers at all the rehabilitation and nursing home facilities around the entire world.
Okay.
And Kenny, Lila asked me to pray unspoken request for her.
Okay. Well, with that, Brother Quick, you are on, and we're going to leave the mics closed, Ruth, other than Brother Quick's, and we're going to turn him loose with his message, and you are on, Brother Quick.
Well, thank you very much, Brother Ken. It's good to be back with you people. And Emily, we will be praying for that infection in your foot, and we'll be praying for your daughter. I'm glad that she's got tested now so that she knows that she has the COVID, so that they can begin doctoring her now and keep her out of the hospital and keep her away from all of that other things that people end up having to go through with this COVID business. All right, now listen, I want to call your attention to Matthew chapter number 2. Matthew chapter number 2, the Gospel of Matthew chapter number 2. And what I want to do, I want to look at a normal day that's going to become so abnormal that it's going to mess up things just left and right, and we'll see that in just a few moments. Matthew chapter number 2, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. Listen to this now, because this was a normal day before verse number 1 took effect. This was a normal day for those around. You listen and see if you can put yourself kind of in a position like what they're going to end up in. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." Now, King Herod hadn't planned on a day like this. He's been about his normal whatever he did throughout the daytime, and nothing was going to happen real exciting, he didn't think. But all of a sudden, his day is going to change, and it's going to change drastically. You see, this band of wise men, or the tribe of wise men, we're so used to just three wise men, because when all the time when we were coming up, when we would put like a Christmas program on, we would always have three wise men because they had three gifts. Well, it would have taken more than three wise men to get this king's attention like what they got him. And so I'm just going to tell you that it has to be a tribe of wise men. There is a bunch of wise men that showed up. And they've come and they've said, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Verse number 3, listen to this. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. King Herod is out of place because he is a Roman ruler that has, his army has overtaken Israel, and he has put himself in as the king, the ruler of Israel. He's a Roman ruler. And all of a sudden, these wise men show up, and they're calling for he that is born king of the Jews. Now, Herod was troubled very much, and it says all Jerusalem, and the all Jerusalem that was troubled with him, we'll read about these in verse 4 and verse 5, who these were. But they really got troubled because this was not supposed to happen on this day. Matter of fact, according to the way they were thinking, this was not ever supposed to happen. Amen. But it happened. wise men had showed up, they've knocked on the king's door, and they have said, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? We have come to worship him." Wow. Well, Herod didn't know what else to do. So look at verse number 4. When he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." They knew where he was going to be born. They knew all about this. Now, the king has come to this bunch, and he said, "There's a bunch of wise men that showed up at my place, and they've told me that they have followed the star over here because they've come to worship he that is born, the king of the Jews. Where is his birth going to be?" And they just sat there, and they told him what all the prophets had said. None of them were really excited about it. The king never went down where they talked about. None of the scribes and Pharisees never went down where they talked about this birth taking place. None of these people, none of these rulers ever got up and walked out and went down to check to see if it was time for the king of the Jews to be born. They just knew that that's where he was going to be born. Isn't that amazing? That just amazes me to no end. The king of the Jews was born. There is so much prophecy all throughout the Old Testament concerning the king of the Jews that was coming. There is so much prophecy in the word of God what the king of the Jews was going to do. He was going to bring new life to those who would trust him. I mean, what more could you have that would excite you any more than to know that you're born again? And that's what the purpose of the king of the Jews being born was all about. Called these men together, and they said, "Well, yeah, he's just going to be born just over yonder here, not too far away, just over yonder here. That's where he's going to be born." And nobody left town to go down there to see if it was really time for the birth of the king of the Jews. None of them did. None of them did. That amazes me. Why didn't at least one of them take off and go down there and check it out? No, not a one of them did. It's almost like they were telling the king, "Well, king, you know, this is going to be happening, but it sure ain't going to be happening in our lifetime." Oh, I've heard that many a time. I've went out and witnessed to people and told them that Jesus is coming. You better repent of your sin. You need to be getting ready for that. And I've heard that time and time and time and time again. Listen. My dad told me all about that. My grandpa told me all about that. And Jesus ain't got here yet. I don't think he's coming in my lifetime. Wow. Isn't that amazing how we can just excuse things away like that? Just left and right, we can excuse things away and never think another thing about it. Well, these wise men had something going. They had followed a star. And these wise men knew that this star was going to take them to the birth of the king of the Jews. They knew that. But they had stopped at Jerusalem. And they had started to ask some questions. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? Well, this king, he's getting a little bit nervous now because he understands that there's some things going to take place that he doesn't like because he's the one that's in control of Israel at this time, and he doesn't want to have to put up with any other king, especially if it's a king that's been born. King Herod doesn't want to have to put up with him. And so look at verse number 7. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. You see the plan that he's got working in his mind? He's got it working in his mind. He's going to figure for himself just when this birth took place. Verse number 8, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Now, that's one of the biggest lies I think I have ever had to put up with in all of my days. I've been preaching the Word of God for nearly 48 years, and I've heard excuses like that time after time after time. Well, preacher, it's like this. You go and you check it out. When you find out if it's really what you're telling me that it is, you just come back and tell me so that I can go and worship with you also. That's not how things work, ladies and gentlemen. And this king has got it in his mind that when these wise men go and find the baby that's been born, the king of the Jews, he's going to come down there and he's going to do away with him. If he really wanted to worship the king of the Jews, he would have went down there with the wise men. He would have went down there before the wise men got there, and he would have worshiped Jesus. But he didn't have that in mind. He had in mind removing this king before he got any older. Well, look at verse number 9. When they, the wise men, had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. I would have too. I remember the night that I trusted Christ to become my own Lord and Savior, and I was full of joy. I mean, I was full and overflowing with joy. I was rejoicing, and I had exceeding great joy, just like these wise men have found here when they found the Lord Jesus Christ. They found him as a young child. He's not a baby anymore. It's taken these wise men quite some time to get across there, but they have followed that star that God put out there for them to follow in order for them to get to where Jesus is. They followed that star, and they followed it, and now they've gotten to where Jesus is. Well, listen, you know, there's still wise men yet to this day that are seeking for the king of the Jews. I mean, Israel is still seeking for the king of the Jews. They don't think that Jesus has been born yet. Every time they have a young lady over there that becomes pregnant, they check to find out, and if she's been, if she's got a husband, then they know that she's not the virgin, because Jesus was going to be born of a virgin. That's exactly what Jesus was born of. He's born of the virgin, and that's exactly how he came into this world. Now listen to me. These are called wise men that came to the king because of their learning, not just because of their teaching. They're called wise men because they have followed the star, and they are going to come, and they're going to find the Lord Jesus, and they're going to worship him. That's why they were called wise. Well, I'll tell you what. You don't have to have any line of degrees over your head or behind your neck and all that kind of stuff. If you're searching for Jesus, and if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you've trusted him to save your soul, you're just as wise as anybody else in this world could ever be. Amen and amen. Oh, listen to me. There's going to be some trouble here in this chapter. I'm telling you there's going to be some trouble, but let's just go on just a little bit further here. You see, verses 3 through 6, this Roman king was shaken all along with the Jewish rulers. They were shaken too. There were those leaders that should have been shaken, but they weren't shaken a bit. In verse 5 and verse 6, they weren't shaken a bit. They just said, nonchalantly, the king's supposed to be born over here in Bethlehem, just across the road here. That's where he's going to be born. And nobody wanted to go down there and check to see if this was the right time or not. Oh, my soul. Sounds like a whole lot of people that I've had to deal with in my ministries across this country. Amen. Take note of this wicked Roman ruler that ruled over Israel. Without any doubt, this king possessed with many, many devils. I mean many devils. I remember there was a man that Jesus found right here in the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Mark. Mark wrote about him also. He was so full of the devil, so full of devils, He lived in the graveyard. Nobody wanted anything to do with him. He run around with no clothes on him all the time. And when he saw Jesus, the devils couldn't help themselves. And this man ran and he fell before the Lord Jesus and he went to worshiping Jesus. Oh, my soul, my soul. He trusted Christ to save him. But you know, when Jesus got to talking with this feller, the devils were talking to Jesus out of this man. And Jesus said unto the devil, what is your name? They said back to Jesus, our name is Legion because we are many. Well, we know that a legion is 2,000. That's what a legion adds up to. And so they pleaded with the Lord Jesus. They said, don't send us off to the deep. There's a herd of hogs over here, 2,000 of them. Send us over there and let us indwell them hogs. And so Jesus did that, and all 2,000 hogs ran down and ran off the cliff, ran off into the water, and drowned themselves. That's what hogs thought about the Lord Jesus, or thought about the devil. Oh, my soul. Isn't that something that man wants to think more about the devil than that? But you see, a legion. And there was 2,000 in this man, 2,000 devils in this man. Well, this king has probably got that many in him also. You see, this king is listening to the devil and going by what the devil speaks to him about. And the devil has told him, you just call these wise men off and you get the exact time that star appeared. I need to know exactly when that star appeared. And then we'll go from there. Well, that's what the king did, and that's what these wise men did. They went ahead and told the king all that they could tell him about when the star showed up. And then the king said, well, you just go on down there to Bethlehem, and you, when you find him, you come back and tell me so that I can go over there and worship him also. And that was a bald-faced lie, because all he wanted to do was go down there and kill Jesus. Amen. So you see, when they departed, they found the Lord Jesus. They found the child with his mother, and verse number 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Verse number 11, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had worshipped him, they opened their treasures, and they presented unto him gifts. Listen to these gifts. Gold is the first one. Frankincense is the second one. And myrrh is the third one. Oh, listen to me. This gold, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, this gold is something that only a king should receive as a gift. Gold is that which only a king should receive as a gift. And when I see this word gold here for a gift, it reminds me of works of mercy that you and I do unto the Lord in this day and age in which we live. And then this frankincense. Frankincense was that which, when it was ignited, it would just swirl up through everything and go on up toward the clouds. And it was just a sweet smell is what it was. And frankincense is a gift only to God. And frankincense is our prayer life. That's exactly what it is. It's the works of prayer. And then myrrh. Oh, hang on now. Listen to this last gift. Myrrh is a gift given only to one that is destined to die. Isn't that amazing? These wise men knew that this king of the Jews had been born to die. He had been born to give his life and die in the place of every sinner that has ever been in this world. Isn't that amazing? Gold, incense, and myrrh. Myrrh is a gift given to one destined to die. And I find in that works of purity. That's all that we can give unto the Lord is works of purity. Wise men and women are still seeking the King of Kings to this day. That's the only way that we will ever be able to spend any time in heaven when we leave this world, when we die and our heart beats the last time. That's the only way that we can do it, is if we know Christ is our own Lord and Savior. Oh, listen, there is still that need to find that King that brought everything to be through the act of creation, including men and women. That's how we got here. We were a created being, just like this world is a created thing. Colossians chapter 1 tells us this: for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And then Genesis chapter 1 will tell us this: and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. That's where we got our start from, was Adam and Eve. Amen. Adam was created out of the dust of the ground. Eve was created out of a rib from Adam. We're all a created being. Amen. That's exactly how we got here. That need to find Jesus is very real concerning man's soul. A man named Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, interested in the miracles that Jesus had been doing. But Jesus knew there was a greater need there, and Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The only way that I could ever become born again and be fit to be heaven-bound is to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior and my own personal Lord. That's the only way anybody will ever get in there. This business, and I've heard all these stories, and I'm sure you probably told some of these stories through the years, but I've heard these stories where they say, well, you know, when you get up to the gate, you know, it just depends on whether Peter's going to let you in or not. I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. It is not Peter that's working the gate of heaven. It's not Peter at all. It's God himself. And the only way that anybody will get in is if we have been born again. That's the only way we get in. Oh, listen to me. This same danger is quickly closing in on America that we're finding here. There's always a bunch around us trying to wipe out Christianity. And boy, they are strong in America today. I'm here to tell you now. They're trying to wipe out Christianity. They're trying to wipe out everything that God has done in the past. And, you know, they need to stop and understand. America is here only because God put his hand on this land and led the people here in the ships when they first got here. Columbus and all the rest of them. That's how they got here, because God sent them here. They didn't even know there was a land here until Columbus got off the boat and walked up and said, man, we got some land here. We got to take care of this. And they came here because of their desire for freedom. That's why America was birthed. It's a land of freedom. And you see, we got this bunch running around in America today, and they don't think that freedom is something that every man should have. They think they're the only ones that should have freedom. I got news for them, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to me now. Listen to me. Everybody, every man, every woman needs to come to the realization that they're a sinner. They're bound for hell. That's exactly where they're going to spend forever and ever and ever and ever. It will never come to an end. And the only way they can keep from going there is to trust Christ to save them from their soul. And the only way they'll do that is when they fall under Holy Ghost conviction of their sin, and God makes them sick of their sin, sick enough as to where they're willing to stop and cry out to the Lord and beg the Lord to save them. That's the only way anybody gets born again. We don't get born again just because we wake up some morning and say, you know, I've been living like the devil. I think I'll just go ahead and just try to live like the Lord from here on. No, that's not how anybody gets born again. We get born again when we fall under that heavy conviction of our own sin. We get to the point where we just have had our fill of that sin, and we can't handle that load any longer, and we realize that there's only one place that we can go, and that's to fall on our face before God and beg God to save our soul. And before we get all of that prayer prayed, we will have peace in our soul. Amen and amen. That's how it worked with me. That's how it worked with my wife. That's how it worked with my father. And that's how it works. That's just exactly how it works. You see, the same danger is here closing in on America. Wise men yet in the 21st century, yet on September the 30th, 2021, are still earnestly seeking the King of the Jews. Why? Because we know what we're going to find. We will find the Savior that we must worship and give our gifts unto. And what kind of gifts are we going to give unto the Lord? Well, let's try the gold like the wise men brought to the Lord Jesus. Gold. We'll find ourselves in a place where we can freely give our tithes and offerings and know we have given our best unto the Lord God himself. Amen. Oh, then what about frankincense? Frankincense is a substance that when once it's kindled, it sends up a sweet smell upward, which signifies unto God our thoughts of going up into heaven, our thoughts of prayers, our thoughts of the fact of our heart being tuned in with God through our prayer life. You see, and then myrrh. Myrrh signifies sorrow. So we can offer unto him our repentance, yea, our repentance for our sin. Myrrh gives each one of us an opportunity to be thankful for the gift of the only begotten Son of God, who left all of heaven to come to earth to live here, to give his life for every sinner. Every sinner can be saved. Listen to me. That's why Jesus came to this earth. He came here to die for every sinner. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 1 and 2. Listen to it. Let me read it to you. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Listen to verse number 2. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That means for the sins of every sinner that's ever lived. Amen and amen. I'm glad that verse of Scripture is in the Bible, because that verse of Scripture lets me know, yes, indeed, I was one that could indeed come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. Oh, yes, indeed. I'm glad that Jesus said in that verse of Scripture, and all people, all men, all sinners can come to know Christ. Oh, do you know Christ as your personal Savior tonight? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever prayed a prayer and asked the Lord to save you? Have you ever done that? And if the answer is yes, then let me ask you another question. What changed in your heart when you did that? Was there anything at all that changed in your heart when you did that, when you said that? If your answer says no, then ladies and gentlemen, you didn't get Jesus. All you did was pray a sinner's prayer with no meaning behind it whatsoever. I'm telling you right now, if you're going to become born again, the first thing that you're going to know before you get done praying, you're going to know that the Holy Ghost has moved into your heart, and you're going to know that you're a new creature, and you're going to know, amen, amen. You've got a new start ahead of you, and you're going to go, and you're going to live for the Lord. That's all there is to it. That's it. That's it. I knew something had changed in my heart. My wife knew something had changed in her heart. My father knew something that changed in his heart. He told me about it. Oh, if you're going to go to heaven with the rest of us, there has to be something that's changed in your heart when you trusted Christ to save your soul. There has to be something that changed in your heart. That's all there is to it. Because God changes parts. That's all there is to it. The Bible tells us all about that. God changes hearts. When I met the Lord Jesus Christ, I was a sinner. But when I got up off my knees, I was no longer just a sinner. I was then a saved sinner. Still a sinner, but I don't have to sin near so much like what I was sinning before, because all of a sudden that love for sin has gone. It's gone. It's gone. Because now there is a love put in my heart to want to live for the Lord. Oh, listen to me tonight. Do you know Christ as your personal Savior? Does he know you as his personal child? Do you know him, and does he know you? That's two questions you need to come up with a good answer with. That's just it. You need to know that you're born again, and the only way that you can become born again is to go the way that Jesus said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. That's it. That's it. That's the only way. Our Father, thank you for these moments together. I would plead with you that you would work in the hearts of each one that has heard me this night. I would ask, Father, that you would just minister unto the hearts of those that are troubled. I would plead with you that you would minister unto the hearts of those that don't know Christ as their personal Savior. I'm begging you, Lord, that this would be the night that you'd fall on their hearts and their conviction would become heavy, and that you yourself would just to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will do that. And we just thank you very much for all that you've already done. Our address here in Georgia is 1122 Church Street, C-H-U-R-C-H, Church Street, and that's Waycross, Georgia, 31501. Let me give it to you one more time. Dr. Doug Quick, 1122 Church Street, Waycross, Georgia, 31501. And I would love to hear from you. I'd love for you to just send me a card. I would love for you to just send me a prayer request. Send me something that you'd like to know from the Word of God that you don't know yet. Just send me something, and that will help me when I'm busy studying and spending time with the Lord, getting ready to come on here next Thursday night also. Oh, listen, I want you to understand I'm praying for you. And Emily, I'm telling you right now, I'm praying for you, girl. You've got some needs, and God is a need meter. He will meet those needs. I'm telling you, he will. All right, now, thank you so much for these moments together. And Brother Ken, I'm going to turn this back over to you, and you just take it and do whatever you need to do, okay? God bless you, brother.
All right, Brother Quick, you were talking toward the beginning of your message there about the wise men. They were somewhere over yonder, and they were coming to the baby Jesus, right?
Yes.
Well, that's one of them cited terms that you that all you sighted folks give us blind guys. You either say over here, over there, that way, or somewhere over yonder. But none of you sighted folks ever tell us blind guys where that's at.
All right.
It's true. I mean, I go to the store and I ask where the aspirin is. Over there. Where's the Kleenex?
Yeah.
Over there. Where's the bus stop? Over there.
Uh-huh. I hear you, brother.
And then when I went to church at one time, I was looking for my wife. Where's she at? Over there.
Uh-huh.
And then when they don't say it's over there, then it's over here. Well, I figured out this much. Over here and over there split up by that way, which is somewhere over yonder, but still it ain't got it figured out.
Well, let me help you understand how you can come to know Christ as your personal Savior. You do that by bowing and trusting Christ to save you. That's all you can do. Beg the Lord to forgive you of every sin, and you'll know when he does. And then that way you don't have to go anywhere to do anything. You don't have to go yonder in order to find something. You don't have to go over here to find anything. You just stop right where you're at and bow your head and close your eyes if you want, and know that God is forgiven, will forgive you of your sin, and know that God is heavy on you and convicting you of your sin. And when that takes place, you cry out to the Lord and beg him to save you, and you will know before you get done praying that that very thing has happened. Is that going to help you, Ken?
Well, at least I know Jesus, but it's good news for those who still don't know him and would like to know where he's at. Hey, I thought I'd bring that up. Amen.
I'm glad you did, because that means you must be over that way then.
Yeah, I'm over there.
And I'm over this way.
I'm over there, too.
Oh, my. So I thought I saw you. Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah,
amen.
I like that one, Kenny. Angel.
So,
I think we got a note barking about your preaching.
I'm sorry?
I got a dog over here barking about your preaching.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, but it was a good message tonight. You brought up, Brother Quick, you brought up a point that I never thought about with the wise men and the birth of Christ. I never thought of that point that the wise men, that when they came and the Pharisees and them, I never thought twice about the fact that they never went down there.
Uh-huh.
That's the first time I saw it for that. It's like, whoa, I never saw that before. And I've read that story, a couple billion times by now? And it's like, whoa, I missed that. How did I miss that one?
Amen.
I was like, now how did I miss that? That the wise men and the Pharisees that were there with Herod, and they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt where Christ was to be born, but even when he asked them, and they didn't go, they didn't say, yeah, let's go check it out too. They didn't. I never saw that before until tonight. That was pretty cool.
Amen.
I mean, that was pretty cool. A nugget that I didn't have before, but now I've got it tonight.
Good.
So, all right. Does anybody else have any questions or comments tonight?
That was something I never even saw in there either. That was a good one.
All righty. Do we still have six with us, Ruth?
No, he dropped. He might have had to go do some work or something.
Yeah, probably work in his studio.
Yeah, but he's a good creator. I mean, he can really come up with good stuff. You know, that commercial he always does, you know, both of those commercials he did.
Yeah.
One's about the text and drive, and the other one's about your blind trucking. I don't know if you're told, Reverend Quick, about your blind trucking.
No, I don't think he heard about that one. Brother Quick.
No, I haven't.
Okay, picture this. I have a three-wheel, you know, one of those adult tricycle pedal bicycles?
Right.
I geared it down so I could hook a trailer behind it, and I've got a trailer that I created and built myself for behind the trailer, behind the bike. And then I've got...
Mm-hmm.
And then I wired it. Now, one question you don't want to ask Emily, because as I was wiring this thing, since I've lost my vision to the point I don't see daylight from dark, okay? So while I was wiring this thing, one question I had to keep asking her was, in order to know which wire was which, I had to keep asking her the famous question, what color is this? Uh-huh. So I literally got her sick with, what color is this? Okay? As I was wiring this, because she was...
You pulled with the crosswalk button wasn't funny either, Kenny.
Yeah, after we got done wiring this for every light like you would have on an automobile, headlight, turn signals, Parker lights, brake lights, reverse lights. Well, one day we were out walking, and just to razz her, she went and pressed the crosswalk button. And she told me she just got done pressing her crosswalk button so we could cross the street. I says, oh, really? She goes, yeah. I says, well, what color is it?
Oh, I said, I waxed him a good one for that one, brother. Boy.
So, but every so often I'll razz her about that. What color is it? But what we do with this bike and trailer, I have a seat that is behind the regular seat that's on the bike, right above the basket. That's where she sits. That's where she sits. And then she holds on to each of my elbows, and then if I have to turn right, she'll pull on my right arm while she's pushing on the left, and I know to turn the handlebars, okay? Either right or left. And so technically I'm using my leg power to pedal it while she's sitting there steering me, okay? And we go out and do volunteer hauling of small furniture, pets, groceries, you name it. And we don't, as I said, volunteer hauling. And we do that around here. And Six took, and he created a commercial for us here at the Six Eyes Radio Network for our volunteer hauling service. And our volunteer hauling service is called Blind Trucking.
Okay.
In fact, we were even in the newspaper over it, locally.
Okay.
Yeah, and even a TV station picked up the story. Huh?
Hey, Kenny, we're going to have to get a copy of that and send it to Brother Quick.
If he gets on the Internet, I could probably send him the link to both the newspaper article as well as the television spot that we did.
I think he liked that one.
They did a news story on a television news station about our blind trucking.
Okay.
Yep. So, yep, we was on that. So... And I appreciate your prayers. I do appreciate your prayers, Brother Quick, about my headache, because that there is lessened up. So,
praise the Lord as always.
And Brother Quick, that was not my daughter that come up with the COVID. It was her managing supervisor, hon.
Okay, good.
All right. Now, do you have any questions or comments, Ruth?
That was a wonderful message, as always. And I still love to hear him and his family sing, but it's too bad they don't sing together no more. But I still love to hear his preach.
Yeah, and Ruthie still keeps every so often when she knows you're going to be preaching on Thursdays, Brother Quick. She's still dying to get you singing.
Oh, my goodness. Tell her don't die.
Yeah, me too.
She wants to get you, she says she's going to have to figure a way to twist your arm to get you to sing a song on the Thursday show when you're doing your preaching.
Yeah. Yeah.
She says she's going to have to figure a way to twist your arm.
Oh, my goodness. Thanks.
I think I got to go in with Rue on that one.
Uh-oh.
My new family likes it, too.
Uh-oh. And since I'm in agreement with the ladies, now you got 3-1, Brother Quick.
Oh, my
God. And I'm sure Six would agree, too. I don't think six would, too.
So I think that it's becoming unanimous that you're going to have to sing once.
It sounds like it.
Yeah, we usually, you know, the old songs that they had years ago, you know, Kenny kept them around. So we're singing with them when we have them on the desk. And I think we sang after the ones that you gave us, too, not long ago.
Oh, good.
I know what song Ruthie would have you sing if you sung it. She'd like you to sing
"How
Great Thou Art" because that's her favorite.
Okay.
And me, I'd like you to sing "When We All Get to Heaven." That's my favorite.
The other one I like is his. Is that "Wilt Thou May Be Made Whole"? I think the whole group sang that.
I think that's one of my favorites too, bro.
No, I just know the Lord can heal. Cause I, you know, I was singing a song one time, and the Lord just instantly healed me from a sore throat. I never forgot that. It was so wonderful. I didn't even ask him. He healed my throat.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, is that it?
Also, Brother Quick, I was going to ask you to be praying for a friend of mine, Janiqua. I got a call just shortly after I took Ken back to his place that her mother had a fall, and when they got her to the hospital, she was unconscious. And when they did a CT scan on her mom, they found a blood clot on her brain.
Oh, my goodness. What was the name on this now?
Huh?
What was the name?
Shaniqua.
Her name was Shaniqua. Shaniqua.
Oh. Okay, Shaniqua. Okay.
How do you say it, Brother Ken? Spell it.
Shaniqua. She could spell it for you.
It's Shaquuana.
Okay.
And then, as we were mentioning, spell that one more time, ma'am.
S. Shaqua, and her middle name's Ana.
Okay.
And you could keep our blind trucking hauling service in prayer too, Brother Quick.
All right.
Oh yeah, Kenny, your dad is in the nursing home too. Wasn't it out in
Austinburg
or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's out there where my mom's at for rehab, hon.
Pray for Mary, too. She should be getting out pretty soon, I hope.
Brother Quick, you also need to be praying that my mom doesn't do what she threatened to do.
What's that?
My mom said when she goes to the doctor's in about 3 weeks, she's going to ask her doctor when she can get out. And if he tells her he wants her to stay a little while longer, she says, no, I ain't. I'm signing out.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, she did. She told me that today on the phone. She was telling me, she says, Emily, you know, if the doctor tells me he wants me to be here a little bit longer, she said, I'm going to tell him, no, I ain't. I'm signing myself out.
Good gracious.
She wants to go back home where she could get her kitty. I know what her problem is.
That cat and those kittens are adorable, too.
All right. So... all right. Well, it looks like we're winding down here. What we'll do is let Brother Quick go ahead and close us with a word of prayer over all these requests, and then we'll be out of here and remind everybody to join us for tomorrow's show, the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang Show, 9 p.m. here at the Success Radio Network. We'd be glad to have you on for that. All right, Brother Quick, we turn it into your hands for the closing prayer.
All right, let's pray. Our Father, thank you for these moments that you've given us to be together with you, asking now that you minister on these requests that have been given for Emily, affection in her foot, and for her daughter's caregiver or something. She's got minister there. And for nursing home, you'd minister unto them also. And Shakia Anna, asking you for this life also. And then for Ken's blind trucking, minister there. Hey, till next time. Thank you so much for loving us and care of us. Be with us now in Jesus' name.
Amen. All right. We'll catch you all tomorrow night. God bless.
God bless everyone.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Have a nice sleep.